people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanshaw, and I'm in the studio today with Matt DeAndrea and Aaron Hagar. This is Racing Rides, People and Places. We are back. Well, we should say Matt's back.
Hello.
How are you, man?
Good.
And Aaron, he's calling in again and sound really good with this new board we got here. It sounds like a new man.
Sounds like you're actually calling in.
Exactly.
As opposed to. Yeah.
So hey, let's just start right off with, the big news. You were in Detroit. You went back there for Woodward Dream Cruise and the Roadkill event.
Roadkill Nights, yeah.
And I hear you stuffed Richard Rawlings into the wall. That's what the word is.
Yeah. I felt good about that.
You threw some greasy French fries under his tires?
I don't need it. I think he's got that stuff in his hair. We had a good time out there. Goldberg and I went out to do CarCast Live, with Dodge. I thought it was a great interview with Mark Trosel from Dodge. He's the design head of Dodge and SRT. And Leah Pritchett was on the show. Yeah, look, it's going to come off as like a big Dodge commercial because they paid for it all. But those interviews I thought were really fun. And they're both fantastic. Brought to you by Dodge. By the way, Leah's a rock star. She's smart and marketable and understands the business that she's in. And I talk with her, and like you talk to a lot of like racers.
Isn't she married?
She is.
Okay,
yeah.
So just calm down, okay? Just slow your roll here, Matt.
she is this week. She gets on the mic. She's charismatic. She's fantastic. You'll see in the interview, it's not like your typical, so what got you into racing? It's like, I've been racing my whole life as a kid and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, what do you want to see? It's like, I just want to go out there and I want to do well and represent, Dodge. And she's like, no. She's like, I want to make some money and I want to win some damn Wallys. I was like, I love that. She's like, yeah, I'm in this for a business. Like,
so what I want to know,
this is my life.
Did you ask her about Papa John's?
I didn't ask her about Papa John's.
Oh, come on.
I didn't ask about Papa John.
You should have said, so what do you think about Papa John's, man?
She would have responded with like, I love $5 Subway sandwiches or something
that.
Right. but she's got Dodge and I forgot who else now, but,
yeah.
And then we did this celebrity drag race, which was in the rounds of all the social media and stuff. And
were you in line to race behind Richard when he popped the wall, or were you already ran and at the other end?
I had already run.
Okay, you were already at the other end.
Yeah. No. I was at the.
So
I was already back.
So you were back. You were at the starting line.
Yeah, I was at the starting line.
So when Richard hit the wall, I'm just trying to fit Richard hit the wall as many times in the conversation.
Yeah, no. We're going to talk about this very quickly. The CarCast this past week, Wednesday show. Go back and listen. That's the interview we did live at the event.
Okay.
And then,
what was the big thing that happened at the event that everybody's talking about?
Richard Rawlings hitting the wall.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah, so Wednesday last week, we did the live show. Friday last week, I kind of break it down with Adam Carolla in the studio. So I'll give you the recap here is we did the live show. We had this huge travel debacle, which I got into on the other show.
I was on you on social media on that, and I saw that.
Horrible.
It was, I'm telling you, we barely made the event. We just barely made the event. Because the pilot didn't show up, and they're like, it was a 1:15 a.m. flight.
You have a lot of traveling. Traveling issues.
I'm 0 for 3. Like the last three travel events, they all had some sort of major fail, right? So it was comical.
At least you didn't have some dude steal a plane and like in front of you, and they closed the airport like up in Washington.
Yeah, no, I saw that too.
What a horrible thing that was.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we go there, we do the live show, we get there, just in time. We do the live show. we miss some of our press opportunities and things like that. But then they're like, okay, we're going to do the drag race now. And so everybody go to the starting line. Chris Jacobs is down there reporting for Motor Trend On Demand. He's got his microphone and his headset and his whole thing. And Steve Mignante?
Yeah, Mignante, yes.
Right. See, I know how to pronounce his name. He doesn't know how to pronounce mine. Just saying. He's up in the booth, right? Because we like Steve, but Steve's kind of like an awkward, sweaty guy. And some people said they were watching the live stream. They're like, this guy Steve in the booth is like butchering your name, and he's like, I don't even know who he is. I don't know why he's here. I was like,
he texted me and said,
I was like, give me a break, buddy. You were on our show at Shift and Steer.
Exactly. Yes.
You were on Shift and Steer
in New York.
In New York, in Syracuse.
Yes.
I was like, by the way, you know, get some notes or something. Like
that could be my fault because he did call me and he said, hey, Brad, your co-host from Shift and Steer's on. Yeah. I go, oh, you mean Matt did Deanda Dudra?
Yeah,
and he goes,
right?
Yeah, that's the guy. So see, he thought it was all like good. He thought he had it down.
I swear, somebody said on the live stream, he literally said, I don't know who this guy is. I was like, you don't need to. I know you don't know who I am, buddy. Like, I get it. Like, I'm not supposed to be here, man.
That during the driver's meeting, when Chris Jacobs had you all standing up on the starting line, that as Richard Rawlings walked up, he bumped into Chris Jacobs. He kind of like banged into him.
Probably.
Yeah, because he hit the wall, he hit the announcer.
He hit everybody. So Motor Trend was like, all right, let's all go to the starting line and let's do some interviews and everybody shit talk a little bit, have some fun. We're like, great, let's do it. Let's have fun. And I had already been joking with Goldberg and I think maybe at some point Christy Lee and Leah Pritchett. And I was like, I don't know. It's like these cars are so hard to launch. They got so much power. They're fast, but they're so hard to launch. I was like, I don't know. I guess if I don't feel good about it, I'm just going to do a burnout like the whole 1,000 feet and then get to the end and stand on the hood and be like, woohoo, I'm awesome. You know, like, but I lost, you know. Nobody was really going to do that, right? Like, nobody.
You thought.
Yeah, nobody was really going to do
and
that.
And Leah Pritchett probably looked at you when you did that and went, yeah, try driving a top fuel dragster or a funny car.
She was there doing burnouts with Matt Hagen in his funny car. And by the way, Matt Hagen and Goldberg, those guys eat some protein.
I was going to say, they're all just standing there going, oh.
Yeah. Like, Hagen was quiet. Like, he was just kind of quiet the whole time. I think they kind of just threw him in the mix, and he didn't really know what we were supposed to be doing.
Because he's the Mopar funny car.
Yeah. He's a sweet guy. He seemed great. And, like, I'm standing next to him. I was like, you're a giant man.
Yeah, he is a big guy.
He's a big dude.
Well, and when he first started racing, if you remember, he was kind of husky. Let's call him a husky guy.
Husky, yeah.
And then he toned down and muscled up, and now he's just, like, this huge monster.
Yeah,
you know?
he's definitely hitting the gym, that guy. It was weird because we were all standing around going, who should race who? Who should race who? It was like, we should get Goldberg against Hagen and Pritchett against Rawlings and let's get the Roadkill boys to go against each other, you know, Freiberger and Finnegan. And it's like, and then Christy Lee and I were standing there, we're like, we're about the same size, so let's race each other. And then they had us pick chips out of a bag. We picked like these poker chips out of a bag. And I don't know how this happened or what the deal was, but we all picked chips out of a bag, and it was the exact lineup that we were all just talking about.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
And I was like, I've got a number two. And Christy's like, I've got a number two. And I was like, oh, okay. And
If I was there, I would have eaten the chips.
No, it wasn't that kind of chip.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's poker chip.
All right. That's why they didn't invite me.
I was starving by the time I got there. We were on a flight. And the thing about it is, like, you fly on it, like, any flight, first class, coach, whatever. If it's a red eye,
there's nothing. Everybody's asleep. Yeah.
There's nothing. By the way, if you go to the airport on a red eye, the restaurants are closed. You can't get a beer. The TSA pre-check, like, everything's closed. And you're like, why did I pay for all of these upgrades when you get nothing?
You get nothing.
Yeah, you get nothing.
Yes. And like it.
Yeah, that's a travel tip. If you're going to pay for stuff, go during
the day.
So we drew our chips. I forgot who the first run was.
What was the last thing the guys from Chrysler said? Something like, hey, don't wreck the cars, guys.
They've said that many times.
Yeah.
Christy and I went up to the line. My strategy was, leave the suspension all in stock street mode, because track mode on a Hellcat wide body is really like road race track.
Right.
I wanted to shift a little bit of weight. So I left the suspension in street mode. I put it in manual. They're automatics, but you put it in paddle shift manual. Did the little burnout. I did a very light burnout. I know everybody was trying to put on a good show, but it's street tires. I just got the water off the tires, and that was it. I didn't want to heat up those street tires. And when I got to the line, the starting line, instead of the Christmas tree, it's the guy. You know, he points at you, points at the other person, raises his arms, does it all Fast and Furious style. We did that. I put it in second. I manually paddle shifted into second and figured I'm going to roll into second, and then I'm going to bang into third gear and try to hammer down. So that was the strategy. And I got the jump on Christy Lee. That sounded weird.
I was thinking that too. The whole shot.
I beat her off the line. Like everything. Everything
that
here.
Sound right.
Everything here is like I was quicker.
My car was in front.
My car was in front from the beginning.
Yes.
And and I stayed there. I was in second. I just rolled into it.
You kept her in the back seat through the whole quarter mile?
I didn't see her to my left. Yeah, pretty much. I didn't see her to my left, so I figured, like, okay, I'm good. I'm a car length ahead. And I wound it out to about red line, 7,000-something, hit third gear with the paddle, and that car, even just that second or third gear shift, that car just got all sideways and loose. I was like, damn. And then she came up on me. And then when I got enough traction a second later, I just held it and won by like half a car. Like, it was a great race. It was fun. It was exactly what you wanted to see. And then we just brought him back around.
That's
put the
probably
cars
not
back
exactly what she wanted to see.
No. And she's, and in typical like douchey fashion, when they got all the guys in there, you know, I hesitate to say celebrity because I was part of the group, but as soon as you're done, everyone's like Instagramming and taking photos and like, hey, I just raced Christy Lee and I just beat Christy Lee. That's me doing stupid Instagram videos. And then I see her in her car going, I just raced DeAndrea right behind me and he beat me by like half a car. And I was like, this is the shit we are. This is what we do.
It looked like so much fun.
It was fun. And then Goldberg won his first round.
And that was racing Matt Hagan.
I think it was Hagan.
Okay.
I think it was Hagan. And I think Finnegan raced Freiberger and beat Freiberger.
Oh, man.
And then Leah Pritchett against Richard Rawlings.
And what happened in that one?
Thank you for asking. I will tell you what happened. Is they both rolled up. They did a big put-on-a-show burnout. And he was in the black car. I think she had the purple car, which was my car. It was the car I ran.
So, you guys traded out cars.
Yeah, so there was like, I don't know, eight of us or something, and there was like four cars. So Christy and I did our run. We got back in line. There was a pair of cars in front of us that was probably, you know, whatever, Finnegan and Freiberg or whatever. They did their run, and then our cars moved up to the line, and drivers swapped in. And I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Well, you would have known cars. If you drove either Finnegan or Freiberger's car, because there would have been like probably like burger wrappers in there and maybe some spare tires they found somewhere in the trunk.
Right.
You know,
there'd be some safety wires.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Zip ties everywhere.
Yeah, there'd be zip ties and, you know,
a 5-gallon gas tank connected to the fuel injection.
So the live stream has all the races, the Motor Trend live stream, but then there's the YouTube video that they released. If you Google like Roadkill Nights 2018 Rawlings versus Pritchett or something like that, you'll see it. And so they do the burnout. They inch forward. You see the guy, you know, pointing at, you know, Richard, pointing at Leah, and then Richard lights him up. He's just spinning up in it, and he's just cloud of smoke. And the guy drops his hands, and Leah just takes off. She's just already gone. And Richard just smoking it down, and he's starting to pick up some speed. And like halfway through, he rides up the wall. He was in the left lane, and so he was, you know, on the driver's side basically. And he rides up that wall, and you could see. you can see, like, he just must have shit himself. And then it gets back down, comes back around, and everyone looks at the car. It doesn't look that bad, but he hit, like the front corner fender, the front corner splitter, the wheel, the tire. There was a chunk of rubber, got to be eighth of an inch deep and the size of a silver dollar, missing from the
tire.
Jeez. And then the rear wheel was hit as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when we saw it, we were standing at the starting line and we saw it. And it looked like he just kissed the wall and went back in. But when you watch the YouTube video from the air, from the front of the car, that car was riding up the wall.
Yeah.
It launched in the air.
That's the one I saw. Yeah. It was like a car on the freeway that, you know, tries to, you know, and there. It did exactly what it's supposed to. It kind of lets the car ride up and then pushes it back into the lane.
And pushes it back in, yeah. Once the rear wheel hit it, it kind of pushed the nose down because the rear was starting to climb. And I don't know. The whole thing was funny. At one point, I was supposed to go and race the second round, and I got into his car. And then they're like, yeah, it's good. And so the tech guys were like, this is the car. We're going to use it. And then one of the Dodge guys, a good dude, Mark, he came over and he's like, I can't put you in this car. And he's like, I'm looking at it now. And he's like, I don't know if this thing's going to go straight. I was like, well, I'm in the left lane. If you want me to just aim for the cones, it'll probably go straight. You know, if you want me to aim for the center. And he's like, no, let's swap out the cars. So they got rid of that one quickly. And then another one rolled in. And then I went up against Goldberg, which was fun. And again, we went in with two different strategies. He's put the car in automatic, leave it in regular street mode, and just run it and just try to just roll into it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do second gear. But instead of second gear and going to 7,000, I was going to short shift it around 5, hit third gear, hopefully keep it in a straight line and be able to hammer down in third gear.
That car, you probably
faster.
Still got your tire spin, though.
Yeah. And the Dodge thing, this is totally on me. Goldberg beat me. He beat me fair and square. But Dodge, the paddles that are on the back, and if you drive any of the Dodge and Jeep vehicles, there's like these little buttons on both sides on the back of the steering wheel for the radio.
Oh, for
you know?
Tuning,
and it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like in the middle of the paddle or something, or like it feels weird. And the paddle doesn't have much movement to it. It's a very small click.
Like, so you were changing the channel instead of shifting?
No, what I thought, basically that's what I was doing, I beat Goldberg off the line. I was feeling a little good about myself. I was like, I've got the weight advantage, and I feel like this is going well. And then I look down at the tack. I'm in second gear. I'm right at that 5,000 mark, and I hit the paddle, but my finger hits that little round radio button.
And instead of the next gear, you got, this is Z100, Detroit's rock and roll station.
What I thought was, I was like, oh, I just hit the stupid radio thing, but not the paddle. So I hit the paddle. And what happened was, I ended up hitting the paddle twice. I hit the radio and the paddle one time.
Oh, no.
And then the paddle again. So I was there, and then I go click, click, and now I'm in fourth gear. And I'm like, oh. At one point, I looked over. Goldberg's right there. I downshift back into third, and the car just didn't have enough momentum. And then he beat me. And I was like, it's all right. As long as I lost to my boy, I was like, it's good. And then – you know, and then he went up against Finnegan for the finals. And I'm over at this car. I'm leaning into his window. I was like,
he raced Finn again?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said,
yeah, he just did that, didn't you?
He did that. Yeah. The beauty is Brad writes these down ahead of time.
Oh, it's a whiteboard on the wall. Yeah, yes. I anticipate the conversation.
So I went over to Goldberg, and I was like, look, Finnegan's got a lot of drag racing experience. This is their event. It's roadkill
night. What, were you trying
night.
To psych him out, man?
And, no. I was doing my Goldberg version of psyching him out. I was like, he's got a lot of experience. I said, this is his event. Roadkill is his show with Freiberger. They did this event and drag raced these cars last year. I said, so you have to beat him. Like, you have to beat him. And
then did you go over to Finnegan and go, hey, man, Goldberg, you know, he's a big Mopar guy.
I said,
and if he loses, he's going to kick your ass.
No, I said the same thing. I was like, this is your event. You've got a lot of experience. It'd be pretty embarrassing if you don't beat him.
Plus, Goldberg will kick your ass.
And I'm very happy to say Goldberg beat Finnegan, won the whole thing.
Was it a close race?
It was. It was a good race. All the racing was good except for Richard Rawlings' crash.
What happened to Richard Rawlings?
Did I mention that he hit the wall?
He hit the wall?
Richard's credit.
Aaron, did you hear what happened?
Yeah, I was following Matt's social media and Christine and everybody else's. So,
and what did you read? And what did you read?
You heard that Richard hit the wall?
Was there more to it?
No.
Jeez, you got to lead this guy. Come on. It's called follow-in. We've all said something.
What do
you? Oh, there you go.
I read that Richard hit the wall.
So anyways, Matt, you were saying?
Yeah.
Richard Rawlings is a showman, right? Like, you know, he's a showman, and there's I don't know his total
strategy.
He's a
fabricator, isn't he, first?
I get it. He's a TV show guy. He's a great marketer. His restaurants, his clothing, all of his stuff.
And
that
a car builder, right?
I would say restaurateur.
Okay.
You know, he's a personality.
Designer?
He's a personality. He designs his personality. And, you know, so there's a version of him that says, I'm speculating, that says, look, if I try to, and this is a good marketing move. This is a good sort of like celebrity get attention kind of move would be, think of an actor as well, right?
Okay. I remember the guy when he put the F-40 out here in L.A.
Yeah.
Into the wall. I think it was at the time it was about a $3 million car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who was that actor? It was a comedian.
Yes, and I forgot his name.
I do too. I think that's him calling.
I don't remember.
Because he heard us talking. But yes, I know where you're going.
Anyway, the point is like there's a lot of good actors. There's a lot of good TV personalities. There's a lot of good people doing good things, and it's tough to compete with that because there's always somebody better, right? There's always like, I'm an up-and-coming actor or something and I'm good. Okay, but you're not quite Tom Hardy yet, right? And you're not quite, Al Pacino yet. So there's always somebody better. But if you put on a show and you do some wacky stunts and you own up to sort of
wall.
A forced mistake, right?
So are you saying that any publicity is good publicity?
I'm saying it. In a sense, yes. So,
yeah.
Look,
what he's saying is he wouldn't put it past Richard to put his car on the wall to say, here I am.
Well, this is what I'm saying is I honestly don't believe Richard intended to hit the wall. He didn't want to damage Dodge's car. His strategy was, this will be funny. I'm going to just smoke the tires the whole way. I'm going to do a thousand and have him go, I don't know what happened, man. I was just putting on a show. Leah's that great. And no harm, no foul, right?
So what you're saying, and I'm speculating, is that
backfired.
He tried to do a smoky burnout for show, like a John Force type thing, mm-hmm. but he forgot that he's not as good a driver.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Should have taken a few more of those driving courses.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I gotcha.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to bring this up, but was the whole situation quote unquote impaired?
No. Everybody asked that too.
What, you think he had maybe a little too much Gas Monkey Garage energy drink in that morning?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, now I've been known to wear some jewelry. Aaron's been known to wear some jewelry. And, maybe
stuff gets caught on stuff.
Maybe he just wore a few too many of those big bracelets that he wears on that side that day, and the steering wheel kind of drifted.
A lot of people pointed out in my photos.
He was left-hand heavy.
Yes.
He was left-hand heavy. A lot of people pointed out in my photo, they're like, what's going on with his shoes? They were like bedazzled with no laces or something. They were weird. They were really weird. And I was like, no, this must be a, like, maybe he has an adorable daughter who made him these shoes, and I don't think he does, but it was a good event. It was fun. And
you know what? And if it hadn't happened, we wouldn't have had as much to talk about.
Look, everything's fine. Richard's fine. He's having a great time. I'm sure the car can be fixed. It looked like it was mostly cosmetic. We don't know for sure.
And if he says anything to us, you know, it's all in fun. It's all in fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
he's all over social media and he's owning it. And he's like, yeah, I was showing off and I hit the wall. So good job.
You know what I'm going to tell you about? Yeah. I'm going to tell you about Turtle Wax.
Yeah.
Because after 71 years of car care innovation, Turtle Wax is really bringing the heat this summer with their Carnauba Tropical Wash and Wax. It has 3 times more Carnauba friction-reducing detergents, and it's infused with Caribbean Crush aromatics that activate when you mix it up. I think that means it activates when the car brushes the wall.
I was going to say, 3 times of Carnauba, you might have slid right off the wall.
He might have. The result is a rich scented foam that's like taking your car on a tropical vacation. And if you're looking for an easier way to apply that rich Carnauba shine, check out Turtle Wax Express Shine Carnauba Spray Wax. With 3 times the Carnauba, Express Shine Carnauba Spray Wax provides not only a great shine, but has polishing agents that clean while you wax. And summer's bug and tar season, so pick up some Turtle Wax Bug and Tar Remover. It's easy. It easily removes both bugs and tar, as well as other stubborn spots that are holding back your car's summer shine. Reach for Turtle Wax to have a car that looks as hot as summer feels. Turtle Wax, trusted innovation inside and out. And
speaking of hot, Aaron, tell us about the event you were just at. Weren't you at Hot August?
Hot August Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hot August Nights. You know, it was freaking hot, man. It was like from 1 in the afternoon to 5 o'clock, it was 106. Our porta cool like kept breaking down. We're in the tent facing the sun the whole time. It was, I got to say, it was brutal. But it was Tuesday. We were there Tuesday through Saturday. I had the Woody Wagon down the hill with the Torchmate book, Lincoln Torchmate, which we're doing the show with, the Zine Cut Build show. So I brought the Woody Wagon down. We were making some tikis and making some displays for the Beach Bar Rum, which we're going to show at the Napa Safeway event that Dad's doing on October 4th. And then I'm going to drive it down to the is it Long Beach, Brad? I keep getting it wrong. It's a Long Beach show.
Huntington Beach show.
Thank you. I keep screwing that up. Down to the Huntington Beach show, and I'll have all the displays for the Beach Bar Rum that we made on location. So that'll be the next episode. That'll be episode.
And probably that Shift and Steer sign that you were making, right?
I'm working on that. I'm working on that. But today got screwed up. My wife's literally sitting in surgery. As soon as she walks out that door, I'm going to have to jump off the phone. She's getting some eye surgery today, some LASIK. And then I got to take her to the hotel, so I won't be able to go back to Torchmate and work today. So I might have to come down like next Tuesday. But yeah, it was a great show. Thank you to all the fans. I must have had, I don't know, 500 or 600 fans show up. It was a little distracting, but wonderfully distracting. And it was great seeing so many friends down there. And we gave away some awards and some stuff, and it was really fun. There were some really, really, really nice cars. I mean, like really nice cars.
Now we were
at the Grand Sierra. You know, there's so many. Every casino, every hotel, every bit of property with a big parking lot has a car show. There's hundreds of them probably. And I never got to leave the Grand Sierra, but I don't even know how many cars they had. They had 3 fields of cars, at least that I could see in the neighboring area. And it was amazing. You know, I mean, you see a lot of the same stuff. I counted 17 Nomads and only 2 other 210s. So I was excited about that. But, you know, the run-of-the-mill Camaros and Mustangs. But there was, I sent you guys some photos of that 32, that little gray, that it was a dual gray 32 coupe that was just stunning. Every finishing detail of that was machined. And I texted my friend to see if he built it, because he's a machinist, and it's kind of his vibe. And I know he was working on a car, so I might know the owner. But it was one of my favorite cars there. It was just, there was some really, really stellar stuff.
And we did put a photo gallery of Aaron's images. It's up on our Facebook page for Shift and Steer. So go over there, check it out. And there's a big photo gallery. I think like 45 images.
I know, I couldn't help it.
So
thank you, guys.
And that's just the Grand Sierra.
Really great rat rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the Grand Sierra. Just the Grand Sierra.
So you didn't get anywhere else. I remember the very.
I didn't go anywhere else.
The first time I went up there, well, not first time, but when I went up there about 5 years ago, and I was doing a show from the Grand Sierra, and then somebody said, "Oh, hey, let's jump in the car. I'll show you all the other stuff." And I mean, it just blows you away if you've never been there before, because it does just keep going and going. And now we've got. I mean, this time of year, and we talked about this a couple shows back, that now we have August with so many great... You've got Woodward Dream Cruise. You've got Hot August Nights. Now coming up is the Monterey events, Monterey Week. And, you know, everything starts out as this is going on, it starts out tomorrow with some opening shows, some racing at the track. But it really kind of always kicks off in my mind on Wednesday with the event out at the air park. And then just, you know, starts going crazy. And I know you guys are both going. I'm not going this year. But I wanted to tell you something that I got in my mailbox. And this was from Putnam Leasing. The great guys that'll lease you any car you want to buy at auction, okay? And I thought this was really interesting. There's all kinds of things that talk about it. But Putnam used a couple examples here, Matt, of cars that you could get.
Yeah.
So I picked one out for you and one out for Aaron. And the one I picked out for you, Matt, is a Bugatti Veyron, mm-hmm. 2010, 16.4 Grand Sport.
Okay.
Now, this car is going to be sold at Gooding & Company, and they're saying that it's estimated to go at $1.8 million.
Okay.
So if you wanted to lease this, okay, they would be happy to write you a lease, 60-month open-end lease.
Okay.
Okay?
Like it.
Now, all you have to do is come up with an initial down of $360,000.
Okay.
Done.
Oh.
So you're in.
Yeah.
Then... we've got a one-time, so your payments are after that are going to be $1,440, okay? And they're going to break that down over that 60 months. So all you got to do to drive this Veyron is $20,115 a month plus tax.
$20,000 a month?
Yeah.
With only $370 down?
With $360 down. See, I saved you $10,000 right there.
Do I have to give the car back at the end of 60 months?
As a matter of fact, you don't, because they will sell you that car at a predetermined buyback option of only $600,000 cash.
Oh.
So you're going to take that Veyron that was worth, that you just paid $1.8
million? Yeah.
You're going to end up paying about $2.7 for it. So
it'll be a stretch, but I'll probably do it.
All right. Aaron, we've got one for you, too, so don't worry, buddy. I want a little more vintage for you, okay? I found you a 65 Ferrari 275 GTS.
Okay.
Hey, not bad.
Right.
Not bad. I'll take that.
Now, I wanted to pick something that wouldn't make you feel like you were slighted. This car is also estimated to go at $1.8 million. But I found this interesting. You're going to pay that same $360,000 down, which is going to be $1,440,000 over the 60 months. But your payments are only going to be $19,350. So, see, I'm saving you money.
Wow, much more affordable.
Yeah, you know, because Matt was going to be he was going to be $20,115, but you're getting the same deal at only $19,350. I don't know why.
Wow.
My guess is because that car will hold its value more or go up in value.
Yes,
more.
I was going to say that the payoff is going to be a flexible.
Well,
it's not going to be.
You can buy that at the end after you've paid those basically $20,000 a month payments. They're going to sell you that car.
God.
You can buy it at a cash price of only $650,000.
Aaron, you should probably do it.
I think you should.
Yeah, it sounds like a very practical idea. Now, I don't even have a garage at my house.
I do have one.
sell the mini.
This one is going to be at Quail.
Yes. tell them any.
Now, the final one is going to be at Quail.
Yeah.
It's a Chevy 210 wagon owned by Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
It's a Beach Bar Rum Special Edition. And it says that if I come up
we'll just take the 300 down and it's yours.
No. It says that I can put 150 down. And then I'm only going to have to pay $10,000 a month for 60 months, and I can do a buy-off of $250,000, but it comes with unlimited cases of rum.
Yeah.
So, see?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good deal.
For life or just the 60 months?
Sounds like
just the 60
deal.
Months.
Okay. So all the rum you can drink for 60 months.
But what I'm getting at is that I always kind of chuckle when I see these leasing companies there and stuff because it's not, you got to be like uber rich just to even lease one of these cars. I mean, how many people can come up with, well, I'm just going to put 360 down and then pay 20 grand a month. I guess if you have a big corporation making lots of money and you want to have a car, it's a write-off.
Yeah.
You know, you could do it that way. You know, but it really, I mean, it's big bucks.
How is that a write-off?
Somebody could write it off as a business expense or as
a
advertising.
Car.
Yeah.
The same way you would write off your woody wagon as a marketing tool.
Yeah, you write off your woody wagon.
Right?
I'm sure Dad writes off the woody wagon. I do the work, he writes it off.
I know.
He writes you off, he writes.
Yeah, it's like I always tell everybody that when they say, oh, well, that's a write-off. I go, you got to make money before you can take the write-off, you know?
Yeah.
But you know what? One thing that you don't pay too much for? Can you tell my voice changed? That we're switching?
Yes.
Because everybody has a favorite pair of jeans. The pair that fits perfectly and always looks great. The pair you wear out at night, at home, on the couch, at work, wherever, even Pebble Beach. They're the go-to. Do not underestimate their importance. No one knows better.
I just tea stained some last night in a pot of Lipton tea.
All right. Well, no one knows this better than somebody who's bothering our show by calling in right in the middle of an ad read. So I'm going to tell you, nobody knows this better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans. Using their expertise in comfort and durability and applying it to a new line of modern fits and styles, Wrangler jeans are made for the modern day adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, or you're calling into the middle of a show, you're the type who walks the earth in search of something that these jeans are. Okay, man, I'm really messing this up because you know what? it just got me. This guy calling in the middle of the show. So I'm going to take this right from here. Wrangler jeans are made for the modern-day adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, they're the type who walks the earth in search of something. These jeans are for you. Classic or modern styles, a range that fits at a price that works for you. Vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone. And don't forget the iconic patch. And our Stitch W, American icons for over 70 years. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Hey, speaking of write-offs, I have to write off, you guys. I'm going to have to cut out early.
The show's just getting going. And
I know. So okay. I apologize. I got to take care of my wife here, and I will call in from Quail next week. So I will do that show, and I'll be sitting in that woody wagon, talking to you on the phone from the Quail, and I'll be waving at Matt because he'll be surrounded by photographers and celebrities and people with liquor in their hands. and I'll be having fun liquor free.
Hey,
I'll be surrounded by all those people because I'll be in line for sushi and champagne.
Aaron, it was a little garbled up there. You're going to be doing what in the Woody Wagon?
I will be talking to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I will be doing Shift and Steer, calling in live from the Quail.
Okay, we'll talk to you next Friday.
Dedicated.
And say hi to Misha.
Will do. Thanks, you guys. Sorry, folks, but I'm out. Talk to you next week.
Bye. All right. Well, we're going to keep rolling on here. So
yeah. I'm going to tell you, if you think about all the weird things you find in cars, you know, I'm not talking about French fries and melted crayons. I'm talking about weird stuff like live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that makes you just wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. Actually, I bet you did know because I've been reading this ad for months. They're also OE on a majority of BMWs and VWs. And now Continental is launching their aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. These belts, these are the serpentine belts that you got. I need to get one of these from them. I got to swap out my blower belt. I'm changing the pulley size so I can get more boost. These belts
overdrive.
Are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has the OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. Hey, you've got enough surprises working on your cars and trucks already. A belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com.
I probably couldn't even afford the multi-drive V belt on that Bugatti.
Oh, no, you can't.
No, I would have to finance that. I'd have to go to Putnam Leasing and go, hey, I want to finance and lease the
belt.
The belt.
Yeah.
And they'd go, that's $25,000 down
For 60 months.
Yeah.
And the belts last 48 months.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if we can do that.
I don't know if it's going to work.
We'll give
out.
You a 12-month lease on it.
Yeah.
But now, have you driven anything lately since you've been home?
Not... since I've been home, I mean, the last we talked about, of course, was the Bullet and Mustang, and but you have, right? And
well, I want to get everybody excited. You need to go to my social media, and it's at Bradley_Fanch on Instagram, and see the photo I just posted because I drove an exciting Chrysler Pacifica minivan to Arizona. I did a turn and burn. I went. Dropped off mom at her house, did a couple things for her, got back in, and came home. And the one thing I was most intrigued with that vehicle, other than it was quite luxurious. I mean, that's their top of the line, leather seats,
yeah.
Air conditioners, had all the toys. But you know how you up in the headliner, there's usually a little thing to put your sunglasses?
Yeah.
Well, I punched it, and it came down, and I thought it was going to be a sunglass holder. And it was this, like, parabolic mirror.
Oh, it's the kid's mirror.
Yeah. And it's for like moms that are driving, and so they can, Billy, you get your hands off of Cindy. Quit it. You know? And I thought that was the coolest.
That's
thing.
The best.
I mean, it was just like.
So you can see your mom the whole time?
Shouldn't every Uber have one of those?
They should.
Yeah, because.
Ooh, then, you could put the camera behind it.
Yes. There you go.
Nice.
But
how is it? Is it a good ride?
It was. It was good. I mean, you know, it's not a performance car. It's not. But damn, I mean, that thing, you don't have to do anything because you press a button, all the seats fold down. You press another button, the door opens or shuts.
Gosh, you're so lazy.
You could be with that car, you know? I mean, it's like one of those cars. Now, I mean, it would be a good car like for guys like us. Want to take parts to the swap meet?
Yeah.
Damn, that thing, you fold all the seats down, it's like a big cargo van, but then you put everything up and you could go get beer afterwards and spend the money you just got from all the parts you sold at swap meet?
Yeah. I don't know how much the Chrysler Pacifica is different than the Dodge Caravan, but the Dodge Caravan is like the go-to car-to-car filming vehicle.
Yeah, because the doors all slide open.
And in the back, the way it opens is all the camera guys, they sort of built a harness that's designed to attach to the four points of the back. There's like points on the ground and up
they up have the from the factory little cargo D-rings to hold stuff down. Yeah.
And every camera guy I know has like a rig that hangs in there. And so I've done so many shoots, like I'm doing these commercials, I'm just doing the driving, you know, and I'm following the Dodge Caravan and some guy's belted into the back with a camera on a bungee cord, basically.
Well, it's funny you said that because I told you I took my mom back. Yep. That's what I did. I harnessed her in the back.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah, just put her back there.
You're like, just film everything.
She wasn't filming. She was just
harnessed in the back.
She was just harnessed in the back.
It's like one of those weird bungee cord things with the belt around you
exactly.
Over at the pier in Santa Monica where you jump up and down. She just kind of floats in the middle.
I'm telling you, though, we went through the storm going back. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not driving my car. Because first, you see just tons of lightning in the sky. And then as we get closer, it's starting to hit the ground off in the distance. Then all of a sudden, it got super, super windy. And I mean, really windy. Gusts of wind. All the semi-trucks were pulling off the road, taking the exits. And then all of a sudden, dust storm. One of those dust storms you get between here and Phoenix where you can't see. But now it's the middle of the night. It's like midnight.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so I'm like flipping the lights around, putting on the driving lights, trying to figure out how to get the best visibility. Then it started torrential rain. So now we got wind, dust. Now it's blowing mud.
Mud.
And the rain was so heavy. I had those windshield wipers on super high. You know when you turn those new cars on super high, they're like going bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, it shakes the car.
Yeah, and then, you know, the car's moving around anyway, and there's like an inch of water on the road because the desert, you know, it just starts. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this, what am I going to, you know, I got my mom, my 86-year-old mom here in the car with me. So if I get stuck in the mud, she's going to be out there pushing while I'm trying
Right?
You know, I mean, right? No, but she goes, is this all right to be driving? And I'm like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this sucks, you know. And then here comes some goofball in a raised 4x4 in the fast lane doing 90. You know, and you're like going, yeah, that's the guy who hits you at 90.
Yeah.
You know? But it was crazy. Then all of a sudden it just stopped. You know,
that's how it works.
You just roll out of it and it stopped. And then you see all the lightning in the rearview mirror. Then it's like, man, that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
When you're in it, you're like, but like I said, I was so glad because I've been in those. I had my Yukon a month when I went to Arizona with it. And I went through one of those really bad dust storms.
Back in 1981?
Yeah, back in 1981. Yeah, no, but to this day, you roll down the electric windows and they kind of go, you know, because the motors all have dirt in them.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's the worst. But
how long does it take to do that trip these days?
Well, it depends on how fast you go, as you know. But you can figure anywhere from 5 to 6 hours.
In the middle of the night. Because it could take you 2 hours leaving L.A. If you left Friday, now, it's 8 hours.
I screwed up. I left at 4:30.
Yeah.
I sat 3 hours in traffic. My mom kept saying, are we still in L.A.? And I go, we're still in town. Then we get to, like, the windmills, and she goes, oh, finally, we're out of town. I go, oh, no, we got to go through Palm Springs yet. Oh, you're just kidding me. And I go, no, and we come down that big hill. And she goes, then we were going up that hill into the desert. She goes, are we finally out? I go, yeah, finally. And she looks at her watch, kind of laughs, and she goes, we left the house at 4:30, and it's like, I go, I know.
It's 7:15. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
And the worst thing between here and Phoenix are all the semi-trucks, because they are passing each other, so they're blocking. There's only, you know, it's like, come on, guys, leave me a lane. So
it used to be 6 hours door-to-door, maybe 5:40, like, door-to-door. You know, like, to your mom's house, she's a little bit further, like, 6 hours. So my mom's place in, you know, Phoenix area, it's about 5:40.
It gets longer all the time.
And I did it years ago after, you know, and I was like, it's 8 hours. Like, what the hell? It's just traffic. It's just 8 hours.
I used to be able to make from my house in Newport to Palm Springs in 45 minutes when I first moved here in the 80s. And
I don't know. I don't know where Palm Springs is in my head. I think it's a 2 hour ride.
It is now.
Yeah.
It is now. And that's the thing. It's because you used to get to a certain point and there wasn't any city anymore, so there wasn't any traffic. Like where Riverside Raceway was, now it's a big shopping mall, houses all built around it. When I first moved here, Riverside was already closed, but you'd go by and the track was still there, the sign was still there, and by that time you were well out of town, you were just cruising, you know?
But, yeah.
And, but I gotta say, one thing I gotta say before we go is, every time I drive to Phoenix, every time I come back from Phoenix, there's this one stretch of road just outside of Blythe on the California side. There's always a ton of highway patrol.
Yeah.
And now the highway patrol, they have new Ford Explorers.
Mm-hmm.
Those sons of guns. Flat black Ford Explorers with black wheels and the California highway patrol logos are all matte black, or excuse me, gloss black on the flat black.
Oh.
So they're black on black,
yeah.
And you do not see those coming up behind you. You don't see them in the center median, anywhere. But every time I roll through there, I always think of our buddy Pete Shapores.
Yeah.
Because Pete used to always say, yeah, every time I go through there, I get a ticket. And he goes, I remember him telling on the show once a story about how he goes, the last time I was rolling through there, he was telling us about how he had only 1 point left on his license.
Yeah.
And he goes, I was rolling through there and I was telling my buddy, every time I go through here, I get a ticket. And he goes, I look in the rearview mirror and there's the cop with his lights on. And I look down, I'm doing 95 and I go, God damn it. And I call that part of the road the Pete Shapores Memorial Highway.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
But so you're headed to Monterey.
I am. I'm heading to Monterey. You mentioned Wednesday night, Gordon McCall's Jet Center event. We will be there. And then Friday, you know, we're hoping to see you guys come out. Friday, we're going to be at the track in the morning a little bit. Adam has a practice session. And then the Quail event is like 10 to 4. We're going to get there to like 11:30. And I believe we're doing a Pirelli Tires Instagram takeover.
Okay.
So Adam and I, you can watch us drink at the Quail, basically. And then Saturday is a big day. Saturday, we're kind of hoping people will come out and come say hi. If you're...
Where?
At the track.
Okay.
So here's the thing is Monterey is expensive and hotel rooms are a pain in the ass. If you're going to do a day trip, go in for one day and stuff, I always say come out Saturday, go to the track. It's probably the least expensive of the things. Maybe it's $50. I don't even know if it is.
It's like 85
for the track.
Yeah, you can tell. Well, you can tell we always get comped.
Yeah,
but,
well, the Quail is $950.
Exactly.
And the Jet Center show is $450,
right.
And those were just a few hours. So
and the Jet and Quail actually went down. It used to be $1,350.
Well, yeah, and then it went back up to it was like $750.
Yeah.
And went back up to $950. And anyway, so Saturday. Adam is racing the car or qualifying in the morning. And then Nissan, as you know, is the featured mark. We're going to be a part of Nissan's display. It's right near kind of the starting line paddock area in front of the Rolex suite. Nissan's going to have a big truck there. We're going to be there. Steve Millen's going to be there. Peter Brock will be out there. John Morton will be out there. We'll have a couple of cars. Hopefully, we're going to debut the Hino truck. Brody Stroud's been working on it. Ray, our buddy Ray McClellan, the dyno guy, he was there fine-tuning it.
Cool.
It doesn't fit on the dyno, so they were like driving it around town and doing all the tuning.
With
the
laptop?
Yeah, with the laptop. And so they've been rushing to get that done. So we're going to have some race cars, the Hino truck, and we're doing CarCast Live from the Nissan booth Saturday at noon. And we're going to have our friend Steve Yeager from Nissan come in and talk. And then we're going to have both Pete Brock and John Morton at the same time. And John Morton raced for Pete Brock on his BRE team. And these guys have still been friends for a long time, but I can't remember the last time like we had them sort of together for an interview. Like, nobody's really done that in a while. And I know they've got stories. So
cool.
Come
Sounds
out and
good.
Check that out. And then we'll be at Pebble as well on Sunday. So if anybody goes out to Pebble, come find us around there.
Yeah, they'll be wearing their fancy duds.
Yeah.
So, hey, I want to thank everybody because this is the first time I haven't gone to Monterey in a long time. And I want to thank all my friends who have, like, reached out, hey, where am I going to find you, and companies that invited me to their parties and
stuff. There's an Acura event. We're going to miss you there.
I know. And
we see you there every year.
I mean, Ferrari called me, and, I mean, Turtle Wax called me. All kinds of people called me, and thank you, everybody. I can't make it up this year because well, I've been banned from Monterey. I can't get into it, but no. But
what's wrong? Too white?
I'm not wealthy enough. Oh, they check your credit and how much you have in the bank, and they say, you can't come into the town.
Right. So,
but anyways, hey, everybody, thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. Matt, where can they find us online?
Well, you can check this out at shiftandsteer.com, and then all of our social media is at Shift Steer Media. And, you know, a little love for our friends at Podcast One. You know that football is back? Is it back or it's coming back?
I don't think it's back yet.
But you can catch up on everything football with some of the best podcasts here on Podcast One Sports Net. Join Coach Jim Harbaugh every Tuesday and his father Jack and others as they take college football on attack each day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Then get all your betting news. Get all your betting news from the RJ Bell Show. Which is his dream preview. Each week he covers all the college and pro matchups. And we also have the Dan Patrick Show, the Rich Eisen Show, and Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiana. Rob Riggle is hilarious. You guys will love him. He's been on Adam Carolla's show a bunch of times, and he's in a bunch of movies. You know Rob Riggle?
I don't.
Rob Riggle? He's, I want to say...
Is he from the East Coast Riggles?
He was on The Daily Show, and he's been in a bunch of movies recently, like 21 Jump Street and all kinds of stuff. He's hilarious.
Don't know him.
Anyway, he's got his show, and he'll help you out with all of your football needs and all your picks.
I thought he was a comedian.
So don't miss out on everything football here on the Podcast One Sports Net or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So is this like football, like David Beckham football, or is this like
that's exactly what
pads
it is.
And stuff?
I have no idea.
We're car guys. Hey, find me on social media, Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram, where I post most of my most interesting things. I'm also on Twitter at Brad Fanshaw, Facebook at Brad Fanshaw.
Where you and, post your least interesting
and,
things.
Well, you know, it's a second tier. And hey, everybody, listen to my other podcast, which is Man Seeks Adventure with Heather Storm and David Merrick. We're always doing something cool.
That's
cars,
the show where you drink
bars,
first and then podcast?
Adventure. It's simultaneous.
Oh, okay.
It's a simulcast of booze and
okay,
talking.
I just wanted to make sure.
But we do always say, and we're very serious about it, because we do drive McLarens and do all that, but we never put them together. We don't say drink and drive. You're a dick if you do that.
No, I got it. I see you guys Ubering your way. Stumbling to the Uber.
We stumble to the Uber, then we regroup, and then the following day we drive the cool car.
Right.
So, hey, thanks for listening. Where can they find you?
I'm on all the social medias, at Moderator. Thanks, guys.
At Moderator. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.